I want to ask you to turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, and I want you to find the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 22. I am preaching through Acts, and just to be open with you today, this is the third time in my years of pastoring that I've preached through the book of Acts. But I will also confess to you that this has been the richest time for me personally. It's just been really, really good. And I hope and pray that it's been a blessing to you as well. But it's one of the greatest books in all the Bible, I think, especially for those of us who are believers in Christ, to be able to understand the history of our church and how things started and the challenge to us. So I'm continuing doing that. In Acts chapter 22, some of y'all were a little disappointed last week because I left Paul hanging. By that I mean we got to the point where he had been taken captive and he was about to say something and I stopped him. And so we want to pick up today and see what he actually had to say. Acts chapter 22, I want to ask you to join me in standing as I read, and I'm going to read through verse 21 today. These are the words of the great apostle Paul. He said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you." When they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence. And he said, "I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, for whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound to Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. Thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death. and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit. Thank you for being in this room. And I pray that you'll speak to every heart. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Every Christian has a story. Every Christian has a story of when and where they met Jesus Christ personally. I think in my Bible about many people who met the Lord Jesus and then went on to tell their story. In the fourth chapter of the book of John, there was a woman who came to the well and she met Jesus. And in verse 29 of that chapter, she said, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? She told her story. In John chapter 9, we're introduced to a man who was a blind man. And Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day, which caused some of the religious leaders to be upset with him. And so they were questioning the blind man about this man named Jesus. And in John chapter 9, verse 25, he said of Jesus, whether he be a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. So he told his story. The story of the Apostle Paul and how he met Jesus is found three times in the book of Acts. It's found in chapter 9, chapter 22, and chapter 26. Chapter 9 records what I would call the historical account of the conversion of the Apostle Paul. Chapter 22 that we're reading here today records what I would call the Hebrew account of the conversion of Paul. And then in a few weeks, we'll look at chapter 26 that will record the same story, and I would call that the Gentile account of the conversion of the Apostle Paul. So, three times in your Bible, Paul tells his story. I think that underlines something for all of us today, and that is this simple fact. One of the most effective ways of sharing your faith in Jesus Christ is by telling your story. By giving your personal account of when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Through the years of being a pastor, several times I have taught what we would call evangelism courses. That is training people how to share the gospel. Whenever I was just a young preacher, I taught a course called Evangelism Explosion. Some of you in the room today may have at one time years ago went through Evangelism Explosion. But a part of that training was asking the people in the class to write down their testimony, to write down their story of how they met Jesus Christ. After that, I taught a class called Continuous Witness Training, CWT for short. And in that training, I also encourage people to write down your testimony, your story of your conversion, your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, many of you may not know those two, but if you've been around Westside in the last several years, I've taught what we call faith evangelism. Many of you went through faith evangelism. And in that class, we give training of how to share your faith. But one of the things I did was I encouraged people, write down your story of how you came to faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you this, almost without exception, whether it was Evangelism Explosion or CWT or Faith Evangelism, almost every time that when we got to that point where I was asking people to write down your story of when and how you came to know Jesus Christ, somebody in that class says, I don't have a story. I can't write it down. I can't tell you when and where I met Jesus Christ. And they come to know Jesus Christ through that experience. So I think it's good that you read in your Bible. Three times the story of the Apostle Paul of how he gave his heart to Christ. And you may recall the setting right now. Paul is in the what is called the Tower of Antonia. He is up high above the crowd. Down on the Temple Mount, there are lots of Jewish men and women. And these are the same people who, by the way, not long ago wanted to kill the Apostle Paul. But he was rescued by the Roman soldiers led by the chief captain by the name of Claudius Lysias, and they came in and brought him to the Tower of Antonia. And here he is, and finally before they take him into the barracks, Paul turns to the captain of the Roman soldiers and says, "Can I speak to the crowd?" And so he got permission, and the last time we left in the end of verse 21, he stands up and he begins to speak to the people and he starts telling his story. And that's where we are today. Now, not only did Paul speak, as a matter of fact, I think it's surprising that he could speak at all. If you may recall, he was beaten within an inch of his life. I see him standing there as beaten and bloodied and bruised, and I pictured him last week with his lips swollen and eyes shut and dried blood on his face, and yet he began to speak. But not only did he speak, the Bible says he spoke to them in the Hebrew tongue. Now, the Hebrew tongue, that is the language of the people. That is the mother language, if you will. That was the language that all the Jews spoke. So whenever Paul began to speak, and he began to speak in the Hebrew language, the text says right here that there was a hush that fell across the crowd. And everyone who once was screaming at him and wanting him to be put to death, all of a sudden they're all quiet. And Paul begins to tell his story. Now, I don't know if you have a story. I don't know if you've ever told your story. But if you'll listen carefully today and you'll follow the outline that the Apostle Paul used, this will help you to be able to tell your story. So let me look at it in three different ways of what Paul said. Number one, he began by talking about his life before he met Jesus. Are you listening? His life before he met Jesus. And he's looking down over that crowd, Roman soldiers listening in, and he says, "I want to tell you what my life was like before I met Jesus." And he describes it, I think, here in three different words. Number one, he says he was a religious man. Look at verse 3. He was a religious man. All of those who were there accusing him, they had accused him of three things. They said he talks against the people, that would be the Jews. He speaks against the law, that would be the law of Moses. And he spoke against this place, that would be the Temple Mount. So he began by saying, they said, he speaks against the people, he begins to speak against the Jews. And the first thing that Paul said was, "I am a Jew. I am a Jew." And he tells this story, he said, "I was born in Tarsus." Now Tarsus was a Gentile city. Primarily. But there have been Jews that have been scattered in all different directions, and some of them had landed in the city of Tarsus. And so Paul was born there in Tarsus. And can't you imagine somebody down there in that crowd, he pokes his brother and said, "See there, he's a Gentile. He was born there in Tarsus." And Paul said, "I was born in Tarsus," but then he says, "And I was brought up in this city." What city is that? Jerusalem. So that lays aside the claims of some that he was speaking even against the people and against this place, Jerusalem, the city, the temple. And so he said, "I was born up, I was brought up in this city." And he said, "Also, I was taught by a man by the name of Gamaliel." And by now, everybody's ears are open because everybody knew Gamaliel. He was the most revered. He was the most respected rabbi of the day. And Paul was saying, "I was brought up by that man," but he said, "Not only that, but I was zealous toward God." The word zealous means I was devoted toward God. It means I was fervent toward God. I was fervent about my faith. And then did you notice he closes out verse 3 by saying this, "as ye all are this day." You know what that means? Paul looked at them and he said, "This is what my life was like." He said, "I used to be just like you. I was a Jew. I'm a Jew just like you. I love the law just like you. I was fervent about it, just like you. As a matter of fact, I think Paul would say, if you're zealous toward the law, I was more zealous than you are. And so what he was saying is, here's what my life was like before. By the way, let me say this to you today. Nobody has always been a Christian. May I say that again? Nobody has always been a Christian. Occasionally, whenever I'm sharing my faith, and I'll ask somebody about whether or not they're a Christian or not, somebody will say something like this, well, I've always been a Christian. No, you haven't. Nobody's always been a Christian. Everybody has a before side. Whenever you read the Word of God, everybody has that kind of a background. So he said, I was like you. I was dangerous toward those who were Christians. I was zealous. And by the way, it's possible to be religious but not be righteous. It's possible to be zealous but to be zealous for the wrong thing. And Paul was saying that's the way I was. As a matter of fact, you may recall whenever he wrote to the Romans, he said, you have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. That is, you have a desire for God, you're fervent toward God, but your understanding is not clear. There is a God way of salvation, but you have developed a man way of salvation, and you're very religious, but yet you're not righteous before God. And so there he was saying, I was a religious man. Secondly, look at verse 4. He also says, I was a ravaging man. That is, Paul was saying, my zealousness toward God was active. You know, there are some people who claim to be Christians, but yet they're not active in their Christian faith. This may be surprising to you, but there are some people who claim to be Baptist, but they're not active as a Baptist. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of people who like to hang on to their religion, right? Whenever you're out trying to share your faith with people, you'll ask them about their relationship with Christ, and they'll say, well, I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Catholic. But many of them are not active in it. Paul was not saying that. Paul was saying, listen, I was religious, but I was active. Listen to what he said. He said, I persecuted this way. There it is again, church. I persecuted this way. And you could actually put a capital W on that word way because it is a reference to Jesus Christ. We've seen that many times and we'll see it again later on in the book of Acts because Jesus said, you recall, in John 14 verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus is the way. Listen to me. He's the way to God. He's the way to life. He's the way to heaven. And there is no other way other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what Paul was saying, he said, I persecuted this way. That is, those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, I persecuted them. He was the leading persecutor of the church of Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 8, verse 3, it says, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church. That little word, havoc, there is a Greek word that describes a wild animal who is chasing after its prey. And once he catches up to its prey, what does he do? He begins to tear it apart, rip its flesh. He said, I was like that. I was like a wild animal persecuting the church of Jesus Christ. He said, wherever I was going, I was binding and I was imprisoning and I was killing those who placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And he also said, it didn't matter to me whether they were men or whether they were women. He was an equal opportunity offender, if you will. He didn't care. He said, I was against the church of Jesus Christ. He's telling them this was what my life was like before I met Christ. Every Christian was a prospect for beating and imprisonment and even death as long as Paul was alive. But not only that, the Bible says in verse 5 that he was a relentless man. And now it's like he looks at the high priest and he looks at the elders and he calls them to testify of the truthfulness of what he said. The high priest, he was the leader of the Jewish faith. The elders, that is a description of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish high court, if you will. And he's saying to them, he said, you guys know what happened. He said, I got letters from you of authority to go to Damascus because Christians were fleeing to this other place, and I went after them because they had scattered, and so I was going everywhere that I could. Whenever you read what he's saying, was he's refuting everything they've charged him with. They've charged him with opposing the people and opposing the law and opposing the temple, and he said, no, there was a time in my life whenever I was just like you. Let me say it again. Nobody has always been a Christian. Paul had not always been a Christian. I mean, the most faithful, the most godly man, woman, young person in this room, you say, I'm a Christian, friend. You have not always been a Christian. You have a before side. John Newton wrote a great hymn that we still sing to this day, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. But before he came to Christ, he captured men and women in Africa and put them on a ship and brought them to the New World. That was his before side. Mel Trotter was a preacher and evangelist who led many people to faith in Christ. But before he met Christ, he was nothing more than a drunken bum whenever his baby girl had died and they placed her body, her lifeless body, in that casket, he stole the shoes off of her feet to take to a pawn shop to get some money so that he might could buy some more liquor. But that's the way his life was before he met Jesus Christ. I'm telling you today, every Christian has a before side because nobody has always been a Christian. So in telling his story, the first thing Paul said, here's what I was like before I met Jesus. There's a second part of his story. It's found in verses 6 through 16, and this is really the heart of the text. He then describes how he met Jesus. Here's an interesting thing I've learned in my study, it's one of the interesting things. I've learned a lot, all right? But one of the interesting things I've learned in my study is that whenever, as I said to you a little while ago, the testimony of Paul is found three times in the book of Acts. But I found that sometimes whenever you're reading what different Bible scholars have to say in the books that they write on the book of Acts, when you get to the testimony in Acts chapter 22, They skip over that. Or when you get to his testimony in Acts chapter 26, they skip over that. And the only reason I can think that they might have done that is because his story is already told in Acts chapter 9. As a matter of fact, if you know your Bible, whenever you get to chapter 22 and the story that I just read a moment ago, you may have just kind of zoned out because you thought, oh, I know this story. I've heard this story. So that may be why some of the commentators, they just kind of slide past this and they go on to the next verse. But I want to submit something to you today. There are some things that Paul shares in chapter 22 that we don't read about in chapter 9. And there's some things that Luke writes down in this book in chapter 26 that we don't read about in chapter 22. So although, yes, it's the same story, there are some differences that we need to understand. So you know the story, so let me hit it real quickly. Number one, he saw the vision of the light. There's a phrase I want you to not miss in verse 6 where he says, and as I made my journey. Did you catch it? As I made my journey. What he was saying was, this is my life before I met Christ. And as I made my journey, as I was on my way, as I was doing my thing, as I was living my life, isn't that the way it happens? All of us were just on our journey. Everybody is on your journey. Without Christ, you're just living your life. You're just doing your thing. As I was on my way to work, as I was on my way to school, as I was on my way to church, as I was on my journey to the ball games. Remember when we used to have those? Ball games, I'm talking about. We're just living our life, and that's what Paul said. I was on my journey until God came and interrupted him on his journey, and he interrupted it, the Bible says, with a bright light. And here's one of the new things that you find in chapter 22 that you don't find in chapter 9. Paul said it happened at about noon. At about noon, when the sun is at its very height in the sky, when the sun was at its very peak. I'll give you a peek ahead to chapter 26. Because in chapter 26, he tells us something in his testimony that we don't find here in chapter 22 and we didn't read about in chapter 9. Because he says in chapter 26, verse 13, he said, "And this light was above the brightness of the sun." Can you imagine? You don't want to go outside today and stare at the sun, do you? Because of the brightness of the sun. But Paul said, whenever I saw that light, he said, this light was beyond the brightness of the sun. Can you imagine? The sun appears to be dim in light of the brightness of this light. And the Bible says that Paul said that it was so bright that we fell to the ground. And so there was that bright light. I think Paul was saying this. I was just on my journey until Jesus showed up. Is that the way it happened to you? I was just on my journey, just doing my own thing until one day Jesus passed by. So he saw the vision, the light. Look at verse 7, the latter part of it, verse through verse 11. He heard the voice of the Lord. Not only was there a light, but there was a voice. And he was surprised by the voice, because the voice came to him and said, "Saul, Saul." And whenever you hear the repetition of the name, it reminds you that the reason why that's there is for emphasis. You may recall there was a day that Jesus said to a lady by the name of Martha, "Martha, Martha," to get her attention. You may also recall that Jesus came into the great city of Jerusalem on occasion, and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." And there was a time that he looked to Simon and he said, "Simon, Simon." And so now he shows up and he says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Would you notice this? Jesus did not say, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the church?" He didn't say that. He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Because Jesus is so closely related to his church that in order, if you harm his church, you are harming the Lord Jesus. That may be worth you remembering today. When you criticize his church, you criticize the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Why are you persecuting me?" He was surprised by the voice. Verse 8, he was shocked by the voice. Because whenever he heard that voice, that's whenever the Apostle Paul said, well, who are you? Tell me your name. And he said these words. He said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." That shocked the Apostle Paul. Why? Because the official Jewish position about Jesus was, number one, he's an imposter. He claimed to be the Messiah, but he's not the Messiah. He was an imposter. Number two, he was crucified on a cross, so he is dead. All right, are you with me today? It was shocking to him because, thirdly, although there had been some rumors that Jesus was alive, they believed the official position was that his body had been stolen by the disciples, and they made up the story that he was alive. So whenever Paul is now on this road, blinded by this great light, and he hears this voice say, "I am Jesus." You call it whatever you want. You can call that his wake-up call. You can call that his aha moment. Or you can call this the original come-to-Jesus meeting if you want to. But this was shocking to him. Because listen to me, church. If Jesus is alive, that changes everything. He's very much alive. So not only was he surprised by the voice and shocked by the voice, verses 9 through 11, he was sent by the voice. This man by the name of Paul became very humble and he said, "Lord, what should I do?" And he told him, he said, "You continue on your journey to Damascus, and whenever you get there," he said, "I will show you what you're going to do." So the Bible says some of his servants who were not blinded, they took him by the hand and they led him to Damascus. Now, if in fact Jesus did not have his attention before, he has his full attention now. And so now, by the bright light and the loud voice, here he is ready to hear and respond to what God has to say. Let me give you this disclaimer today. First of all, when you meet Jesus, or when you met Jesus, you may not have had a bright light. When you met Jesus, you may not have heard an audible voice from heaven. But I will promise you this, if you've met Jesus, He got your attention somehow. He may have used a song to get your attention. He may use a sermon to get your attention. He may use a circumstance in your life to get your attention. My daughter's testimony is that God used a song to get her attention. Whenever she was just a girl, she was listening to a song that Ray Bolts was singing called "The Hammer." And God used that song to lead her to faith in Jesus Christ. Not long ago, our minister of media had some of his family here, and one of his young nieces was sitting in this service, and God used something that was said in the sermon to get her attention, and she gave her heart to Jesus Christ. I don't know what your story might be, but I know this. Somewhere, somehow, some way, God got your attention. And that's what happens to the Apostle Paul. So there was that bright light. There was that voice from heaven. Thirdly, let me hurry. He also received a visit from a layman. It's verses 12 through 16. Notice the visitation. The Bible describes here Ananias as a Jew. I find this interesting. By the way, this is why it's good to read all three accounts of the story of Paul. Because in verse 12 of my text it says, "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there." Did you hear that? He's a devout man according to the law. The Jews would like that, right? He has good report of all the Jews. Well, the crowd down below would like that. But whenever you go back to chapter 9, whenever Ananias is introduced, the Bible says there about Ananias that he was a disciple. A disciple of who? Of Jesus Christ. He was a Christian. And in that context, that's a good thing to say. But in this context, if Paul would have said, "And Ananias, a Christian, came to me," that then the crowd would not have liked that. So what he simply said was, he loved the law too. He was respected by the Jews, so he understood his crowd at that particular time. And so here he was, bringing the story, the visitation by a man by the name of Ananias. He gives the information. He said Ananias told him that he was solemnly chosen to serve God. He was solemnly chosen to know the will of God. He was solemnly chosen by the just one. Did you notice there? Capital J, capital O, the just one. All the Jews in the crowd knew that that was a messianic term. What I mean by that, it was a term that was used to describe the coming of the Messiah, the Son of God. And this is the one who we know as Jesus Christ. So you've been called by the just one. You've been able to hear his voice. And you've been called to share his message, to be a witness to all men. So you have that visitation, you have that information from Ananias, and then you see in verse 16, there's a transformation. And by the way, be careful, be very, very careful with verse 16, because if you're not careful, you will misinterpret verse 16. Because some people use that verse to teach what we would call baptismal regeneration. As a couple of big words, but as a simply meaning that some people use that to teach that salvation comes through baptism. That is, Paul, that you're going to be baptized, and then that's going to wash away your sin. So it's the baptism that washes away your sin that makes you a child of God. And that's not what verse 16 is saying at all. As a matter of fact, if you read the rest of the writings of the Apostle Paul, you will not find anywhere that Paul ever said to be baptized in order to become a child of God. What did Paul say? He said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It's not the baptism, it's calling on the name of the Lord. Greek scholar Kenneth Weiss translates verse 16 like this, that he said, "Having risen, be baptized, and wash away your sins, having previously called upon his name. Catch the difference. Be baptized and wash away your sin, having previously called upon his name. So the Greek text would read like this, that you call upon the name of the Lord, that washes away your sin, and then you identify through believer's baptism. That's what he was saying, and that's what he did. And so the emphasis of salvation is not on the baptism, but it's on calling upon the Lord. Listen to me, church. You don't become a child of God because you walked into this building today. You don't become a child of God because you had an emotional experience. You don't become a child of God because goosebumps ran up and down your spine. You don't become a child of God because you go through the baptismal waters. You become a child of God when, in fact, you call upon the name of the Lord. And if you were to ask the Apostle Paul, Paul, when did you get saved? I think Paul would say something like this. He said, God got my attention on the road to Damascus, and I got saved on a street called Straight when I called upon the name of the Lord. If you were to ask this pastor, Pastor, when did you get saved? I would take you back to a little town in Oklahoma called Burns Flat. I would take you to the First Baptist Church there. I would walk you down to that center aisle, and I would say it was there on that pew that I prayed to ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And the most important question I can ask you today is, what's your story? I've said it many times. I'll say it again. Everybody, listen to me, everybody needs a spot. What does that mean? A spot. S-P-O-T. It means a specific place or time. A specific place or time when you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. Do you have a spot? Paul said, listen, this is what my life was like before I met Jesus. This is how I met Jesus. One last thing. He also described his life after he met Jesus. And I'll just hit the highlights for you here today. Number one, you find in verse 17, he was a praying man. Whenever you read verse 17, there's a lot that is omitted from the story. But Paul was a praying man, and what he says in verse 17, that he was in Jerusalem, right? And he's praying, and he's in a trance. But there were some things that were left out. Number one, when Paul got saved there in Damascus, the Bible says the first thing he did, he went and preached the gospel in Damascus. And then according to the book of Galatians, after that, he went into the Arabian desert, and he spent 3 years studying his Bible in the Arabian desert. And then the Bible says, then he came back to Jerusalem. And so he just picks up here that he's now in Jerusalem, and he's praying. And a lot of people get caught up on the fact that the Bible says he was in a trance. And the word trance is a word simply means that he had a heavenly vision, which is similar to what Peter had earlier back in the book of Acts chapter 10. And sometimes people get hung up on that. I'm saying don't get hung up on that. That may have happened to Peter, that may have happened to Paul, it probably won't happen to you, it hadn't happened to me. The emphasis is not upon being in the trance. The emphasis is upon the praying. He was a man of prayer. May I say this to you too? Who claim to be children of God today? God's people pray. Now we may not pray as we ought to. I would be the first to confess, I don't pray as I ought to, but God's people pray. And so here's a man who is praying. What he's saying, here's the difference Jesus has made in my life. I am a praying man. Secondly, look at verses 18 through 20, and that is the Bible says he was also a preaching man. That is, Paul, God had called him to preach. He's got all the different people in the world to preach, and now he's a preaching man. As I said earlier in Acts chapter 9, verse 20, he says that he preached there in Damascus. And then the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verses 28 and 29, he came back to Jerusalem and he boldly preached in Jerusalem. And so here's a man who was a preaching man, and he wanted to preach the word of God. As a matter of fact, he's saying to the Lord, I want to preach right here in Jerusalem. And whenever you read those verses, it's like Paul and the Lord are having a back and forth, and God is saying to him, Paul, you need to get out of Jerusalem. They're not going to accept your ministry here in Jerusalem. And Paul is saying, but Lord, they know who I am. They know that I persecuted the church. This is the place where I was brought up under the feet of Gamaliel. I want to preach here in Jerusalem. And if you learn anything in our study of the book of Acts, you will find this, that Paul wasn't always welcome in Jerusalem. The Jews didn't like that this man named Paul had given his heart to Christ, and they really didn't like that he became a missionary to the Gentiles. And so the Lord is saying, Paul, you need to get out of Jerusalem. And Paul is saying, but no, Lord, I want to stay here in Jerusalem. He wanted to introduce people to Jesus. But there's a third thing you see found in verse 21, that is, he was a persuaded man. Finally, the Lord just says to him, depart. We're not arguing about this anymore. No more back and forth. He said, I want you to depart. Jerusalem, Paul, is not your mission field. You're supposed to go into the uttermost parts of the world. You're supposed to go to the Greeks and the barbarians and the Romans and to tell everybody about Jesus Christ. And finally, Paul said, yes, which, by the way, that's another mark of a child of God. You obey the Lord. What the Lord says, you do. And so what Paul was saying was, he said, man, listen, Jesus changed my life. Remember the old song? What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Now, friend, you can't meet Jesus and live the same old way and talk the same old way and go to the same old places. Jesus changes a life. And so my question to you today is actually the title of my sermon today. Here's my question. If you haven't heard anything else I've said, if you slept, you've been napping, wake up right now. I got a question for you. What's your story? Do you have a spot? Can you name a specific place or time when you personally called upon the Lord Jesus Christ? If I gave everyone in the room today a blank sheet of paper and I gave you a pencil and I said to you, write down your story. Talk about how you lived before you met Christ. Talk about how you met Jesus Christ and your spot when you call upon the name of the Lord, and talk about how Jesus has changed your life. If I gave you that sheet of paper and I gave you that pencil, what would you write? Do you have a story to tell? If not, let me make a suggestion. Make this your spot. Make this your place, your time, when you personally meet Jesus Christ. I really don't care how young you are or how old you are. I don't care if you have several positions in the church or you don't have any positions in the church. I really, at this point, don't care whether you're a member of our church or whether you're not a member of my church. But what I do really care about is that you know for certain that Jesus Christ is your Savior. The greatest tragedy of my heart would be that people would come to this place, or people would watch online or listen on radio today and hear this message and walk out without Jesus in their heart. My dear friend, I promise you this. You may never have the opportunity that you have right now. The Holy Spirit of God may never tug at your heart the way He's tugging at your heart right now. So that's why the Bible says, don't delay. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If you hear the Lord speaking, don't harden your heart. Say yes to Jesus, so that whenever all is said and done, maybe you could sit down with somebody and say, Let me tell you my story. I was just on my journey, and Jesus interrupted me one Sunday morning at Westside Baptist Church, and I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Everyone, please, being still and quiet, no moving about. But if you say, Pastor, it all makes sense to me today, maybe for the very first time, maybe you've heard it over and over again, but maybe for right now, you say, it makes sense to me, and I know that I need to call on the name of the Lord. If that's you, no matter how young or how old you are, if you say today, I understand, and I want to be saved, I'm going to pray out loud. I'm going to ask you to pray silently in your heart. If you've never done this, and you feel the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart today, this is your day to pray a simple prayer like this. Just say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you're God's Son. I believe you died on the cross for my sin. And I believe you rose again from the dead. And right now, I turn from my sin. I ask you to come into my life. Please forgive me of my sin. And save me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Please help me to live for you. With your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, in just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing our final song. And I'm going to ask you today, if you prayed that prayer in your heart and you meant that with all your heart, and you would say that today is my day and this is my place, I've given my heart to Jesus. Whenever we begin to sing, I'm going to ask you to slip out from wherever you are and make your way down one of these aisles. Our pastors are standing in the aisles. Our front rows are empty. You can come to one of those pastors and just tell them that you've given your heart to Christ, however you want to say it. If you want to just come and have a seat in one of these front pews, one of our pastors will come to you. Somebody will talk with you today and pray with you. I'm going to ask you to come. And you might say, well, Pastor, I prayed that prayer, but I really don't want to come down there. I'm going to say to you today, there's something good about making your commitment to Christ public. The first thing is, it's what the Bible tells us to do, because the Lord said, if you confess me publicly before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. But I'll also say this to you today. In coming and making that commitment public, it nails it down. What it says is, I'm serious about this. What it says is, I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you to come. You may have already done that. Perhaps you haven't been baptized and you want to come today and say, Pastor, I need to get baptized. Maybe you've been looking for a church home and God's Holy Spirit has impressed upon you that this is the place that He wants you to serve. I'm going to ask you to come. Whatever it is God's asking you to do, do it today. Father, I pray you will have your will done in every heart. Father, those who are here in this building, give them the courage, your strength, to do what maybe they don't think they can do. But God, I pray that you would enable them to take their stand for Jesus Christ today. God, I pray that every excuse would disappear, and the only voice they would hear would be the voice of the Spirit of God saying, come on. Today is your day. This is your place. make this your spot when you met Jesus. So, Lord, give courage today. It's in your name I pray. Amen.